In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will, and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. To me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Consider my affliction and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heaven and earth.
with you. Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong and nothing is holy, multiply your mercy on us, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after Trinity is from Micah chapter 7. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depth of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you.
The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you on to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin,
does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of the Lord. Does Jesus actually desire to be associated with unrighteous people? Well, that's the question raised by today's gospel reading. We're told that the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Those Pharisees and scribes witnessed Jesus in the company of the unrighteous. And what they saw both confuses and even more so angers them. And so Jesus responds by telling three stories about lost things. A story about a lost sheep, a story about a lost coin, and a story about a lost son. And with those three parables, Jesus explains what was happening when he was receiving the unrighteous into his company. He was welcoming them so that they would no longer be in that category. But rather, those who had wandered away or had lapsed would be found and they would be restored. That such an outcome was being accomplished by Jesus was to be a cause for joy, not a cause for grumbling. Here again, the two parables, two of the three that Jesus told, we read two of them in today's gospel reading. He says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and her neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Now note in both stories that both of them involve joy. There is joy for the shepherd who finds the lost sheep. There is joy for the woman who finds the lost coin. Remember the words, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." The shepherd and the woman both reveal that they are joyful over the results. They are glad because the situation of their loss was not permanent. For the lost status of the sheep, or the lost status of the coin, did not only affect that particular animal or that particular piece of silver. Rather, it was also being felt by the shepherd and being felt by the woman. But just the opposite is the case when the sheep is returned to the fold or when the coin is put back in the purse. By speaking about joy coming to the shepherd and the woman when they find what had been lost, Jesus reveals that the character of those figures in his story are actually reflecting the Lord's own character. A character that we heard about in today's Old Testament reading, where the prophet Micah utters a statement of praise about the Lord, saying, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love." Those words from Micah echoed words that the Lord himself spoke to Moses centuries earlier, centuries before Micah ever lived. Words that spoke about the Lord himself, the Lord talking about himself. When he told Moses, "I, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." But as we heard from the stories of Jesus, that character was not only to be displayed by the Lord in his actions, the Lord who is represented in those lost parables that Jesus tells, represented by the shepherd who lost the sheep, or the woman who finds the lost coin, or the father who receives back his lost son. For remember what those characters do, what they say in Jesus' story when they find what was lost. Remember? When he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." And then in the parable of the lost son, which we didn't read this morning, in that story, the father says to his servants, "Bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." You see, those stories that Jesus tells don't have the shepherd or the woman or the father being the only figures who celebrate the restoration of what was lost. But rather, their joy is extended. They invite their neighbors and friends to be part of that joy. The shepherd and the woman and the father want their joy to also become the joy of their neighbors. And that joy in the parables that Jesus tells represents the gladness that comes when the unrighteous are brought into righteousness, which is what Jesus summarizes. "Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." From those words of Jesus, we can learn that the angels are the Lord's friends and neighbors who rejoice whenever sinners are led to understand their record of transgression and guilt, but then they obtain the salvation that the Lord desires to give them. This is the restoration that Jesus was bringing to the tax collectors and sinners who were all drawing near to hear him. Jesus, by doing that, was putting the Lord's character into action, just like the prophet Micah foretold. "He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old." But there's still more. Because that shared joy was not only to be limited to the angels, because everyone who has been brought into the Lord's fellowship has also become his friend and neighbor here on earth. All of them once were lost, but now they are found. All of them once were far off from the Lord, but now they have been brought near to him. And the Lord's joy when he found that lost person is to be shared also by the one he has restored. But even more so, that same joy is also to be shared when any lost person is found. Whether an individual is brought into fellowship with the Lord, whenever that happens. Jesus tells these parables because that shared joy was quite lacking among the Pharisees and scribes when he was carrying out that process of restoration. See, that's what sparked the stories that he tells. The tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Those Pharisees and scribes were not joyful at having tax collectors and sinners hear about the Lord's righteousness and then be led to repentance and restoration. And Jesus' statements at the end of each of the stories he tells, those statements criticize that lack of joy that the scribes and Pharisees did not have. The Lord's angelic neighbors in heaven, they were rejoicing over what Jesus was accomplishing. And what Jesus also is saying is the Lord's earthly friends and neighbors, the ones down here, are also to react likewise. Now, that same restoration that Jesus gave to the tax collectors and sinners who drew near to hear him, that is the same restoration that he gives to us. And that happens when we are drawn to receive the benefits of salvation that Jesus has earned through his atoning work. Our lost status is revealed to us when the Lord's law identifies our sin and our guilt and shows where we have gone outside of his standards of righteousness. But he doesn't leave us there. That's not the only message we hear from the Lord. Instead, the work of Jesus is also proclaimed for us to hear, showing us that restoration is possible, that we can be brought into fellowship with the Lord, and not just that we can, but that the invitation is issued for us to receive that restoration. Not just, well, restoration might be possible, but it's not for you. No, it's for you. I want you to be part of it. That's what God is giving to us with that message about Jesus' work. And that happens when the gospel comes to our hearing. In fact, we might recall the gospel readings that we've had these past recent Sundays where we were hearing about how we have been invited to be born of water and the Spirit, and we have been invited to hear the scriptures and what they testify about Jesus, and we've been invited to come to the banquet that he's prepared for us, and through holy baptism and through preaching of the gospel and through eating of the Lord's Supper, we receive that restoration that Jesus' death and resurrection makes possible for us. So that we are no longer lost, but we are found. We're no longer dead, we're alive. And there's joy in heaven among the angels because of that result. But that restoration also means we've become the Lord's friends and neighbors down here on earth. And if that's so, according to the stories that Jesus tells, we are to have similar joy when other lost individuals are found and they receive the same restoration. This is what Jesus invites us to be part of. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and he is alive. He was lost and now he is found. And that joy is what's been exhibited in our congregation, especially over the last several years, in the last couple years especially, when we've been receiving more individuals into membership. We're rejoicing when people are first made disciples of Jesus, when they receive baptism. And there's rejoicing when people have become more active participants in the household of God, and they grasp more and more about how God provides his salvation to them through the means of grace that Jesus established. And then there's rejoicing when people have reaffirmed being part of the kingdom of God, whether they have joined us from nearby or they've come to us from other faraway areas. None of them returning to a lost status, but rather keeping that found place that Jesus established for them. And all those Sundays, when we've had a baptism or a confirmation or a reception of members in our divine services, those are all times of joy. In fact, we'll have another one of those today. But there's other moments. There's other moments that we might not immediately recognize, or other moments that might be kept partially hidden from us. There are also times for rejoicing. And that includes when we have people come through our church doors for the first time to worship with us and to hear the message of Christ with us. Or when individuals who haven't been present for a while return to receive Christ's gifts. Or when longtime members who have been struggling with guilt over various sins hear how the Lord cast those sins into the depths of the sea, and they're drowned, and they're no longer binding, they're no longer snagging people anymore. So you might not actually visibly recognize those. But those are also times for joy to be among us here also, just as there is joy in heaven before the angels of God. And that joy is to be shared by all of us whom Jesus has found and has made to be God's friends and neighbors, even here on earth. Because Jesus actually does desire to be associated with unrighteous people. He wants to be associated with them so that they become righteous. Even more precisely, because he wants to make them righteous. He wants to find the lost sheep and the lost coins and the lost sons in this world so that they will be found and be part of the life in the world to come. And even more amazingly, he involves us in doing so. He makes us part of it. So draw near to him to hear his words of salvation and find gladness in what he has done for you. But then also speak about the redemption that you have received. And then even more importantly, share his joy when others do likewise, when they are found alongside you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us together make confession of our faith. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light.
Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. With glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The congregation may be seated. At this time, I invite Grant and Eugene Dietrich and Richard and Kundry Grove to be received as members of our congregation. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism?
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God, and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the Small Catechism to be faithful and true?
I do.
Do you intend to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the Word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit even to death? Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? Then I ask you, do you desire to become a member of this congregation?
I do.
Will you support the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and the gifts God has given you? Upon this, your confession of faith, I acknowledge publicly that you are members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us rise to pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing these, your sons and daughters, to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and enabling them both with the heart to believe and with the mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that by your word and spirit, they may continue steadfast in the one true faith, in the fellowship of this congregation, as together we await the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord,
who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Grant, we welcome you. Peter, we welcome you. Kundry, we welcome you. And Richard, we welcome you all as members of Calvary and look forward to our life together. Let us then pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, pardon our iniquity and pass over our transgressions for the sake of your only begotten Son, who out of his great compassion trod all our iniquities under his foot on the cross, that we might delight in your steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you have provided pastors to preach your word, administer your sacraments, and to shepherd your people. Guard them from leading your sheep astray. Grant that through their preaching, your people may be pierced by the law and saved by the gospel. And finally, shield them from the assaults of the devil, who would silence your word. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, from whom all fatherhood is named, we give you thanks for earthly fathers. Give them confidence in their station and zeal for their task to care for their families faithfully. Make them examples to their children of godly life and love of your word. Bless their work of bringing up children in the fear and instruction of the Lord. And give them the comfort of your absolution over all their shortcomings. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, guide our rulers aright by the ministry of your church and instill in them humility under your divine authority, that they in turn would honor and uphold the godly callings of father and mother in our land. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, in the waters of holy baptism, your Son laid us on his shoulders and brought us home rejoicing. Give confidence to all who suffer, especially Wendy, Michael, Alan, Trent, Lucia, Lucille, Jocelyn, Nancy, Richard, David, Pendo, Michelle, Adam, Laura, Edwin, Jean, Renee, Juanita, Jason, Helen, Richard, Sherry, Dave, Reynolds, Marianne, Michael, Angelina, John, Lynn, and Jesse, that they may know that he will bear them through their present trials safely home to the joys of heaven. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, though we were lost and dead in our sins, yet your Son has found us and made us alive through his word. Lead us in joy to your table this day to feast on his body and blood, and grant that we would ever give thanks for your love and grace with the angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven. Lord, in your mercy. And Heavenly Father, you crown us with steadfast love and mercy in your Son. And while we live amid many troubles in this sinful world, remind us by your word that you do not deal with us according to our iniquities, but are indeed merciful and gracious to us. Call us to repentance and faith that we may take up our crosses daily and follow you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I will take.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Lord, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin.
in peace.
The body of Christ given for you. 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 By your Christ, given to you. You are the passion. You are the Christ, given for you. By your Christ, given for you. By your Christ, given for you.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Number of announcements that regard kind of parish activities that will be taking place this week. The first is that the clothing closet that we hold several times a year, the one that we have scheduled for this summer, is happening on Saturday. Okay, there is a bulletin announcement that talks about a sorting day, and then there is also mention about helping out on Saturday, either being present while the event is taking place or helping to put the social hall back in order after the event is done. So If you have the ability to help in any of those ways, please do so. Polly Pass can give you a lot more info if you ask her. But just generally read the information in your bulletin. You should get most of it. Okay. The collection that we do for the Capital Area Pregnancy Center, the baby bottle blast, that is to wrap up today, being Father's Day. If you happen to neglect the bottle that you took and were filling, just try to bring it in next Sunday. We want to get those to CAPC as soon as possible so they can begin tallying how many bottles are coming back, but even more importantly, how many coins and dollar bills and checks are in them, because this is a major fundraiser to help their programming throughout the year. If you have items for the newsletter for July, you need to get them in today, because we need to put that together in the next 48 hours. So if you need items in there, get them to the church office ASAP. And then the youth group members, they have been having some treats for the next couple weeks out in the narthex, extra things besides the coffee social. If you want the extra tasty things, please go ahead and take them. It's really nice if you then put something in the jar that they have on the table. So we're not stealing from the youth members, but we are receiving their things and giving them due compensation, or overdue compensation even. All right. God go with you then as you serve him and serve your neighbors this week.